A lot of what we would call our cross, our suffering, is emotional suffering. The loss of something, the lack of justice or fairness. Some people feel like, oh, what's happening to me isn't right, what's happening to me isn't fair. And just bearing this cross, knowing that God knows best, whatever it feels like, whatever it looks like, God knows best. So that can be an emotional and mental cross to bear. And then this everyday kind of trudging through the world and saying, everything I do, I have to glorify God. And that being this serving and suffering for what we know is right for the gospel. Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we're in Mark's gospel, looking carefully at the examples that Mark uses to show his readers how much Jesus understands our suffering. What a great thing for us to understand. If you want to hear more on this topic or read more on this topic, go to studywithfriends.org and type Mark in the search box. That's studywithfriends.org. I know many of you are studying along at home or with a group of your own friends, so if you have questions or insights on this study, post them on our Facebook page. We love to interact with you there, and we might even read some comments on the air. Let's look more at how our Savior is a suffering servant. I would say that when we talk about servanthood, we shouldn't only think of people in our church who are serving meals. We can also think of the people who are teaching, right?
Exactly.
And discipling, because these are all acts of service to the kingdom.
Exactly.
Really good point, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Would you read the cross reference, Gianna?
Yeah.
This is the only one I put in a cross reference for. It's John 15:5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
So he's saying, all I need is a little bit and I will grow it.
Mm.
And then here in John 15, mm-hmm. he's saying, stay with me and you'll grow.
So I want to talk about what is like a servant, what is service, because a few times the Pharisees and people are getting on him about working on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that might be in the suffering due to serving. Did you look at these?
Maybe.
So that's kind of what I did in this column.
I know that
I was like times that he got persecuted because of his serving.
Yeah, I know that 2:23-27.
That wasn't suffering. That wasn't in.
It was kind of hard to quantify all of them.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
But just like, you know, like what you were saying, serving takes a lot of forms, you know, and like also so does working,
mm-hmm.
you know, quote unquote working. Because in, you know, in Israel, they have like they have Sabbath elevators that stop at every floor so that you don't have to press a button
mm-hmm.
on the Sabbath because that qualifies as working.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, like I think it's just a good highlight of how serving looks different to a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Like he, you know, so to some people,
yeah, like Caitlin
consider
said,
it working. Some people, it's just him allowing that power to go out of him through his garments.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
all
you said,
serving.
So even
so, you're
that,
right. Serving comes.
So even that counts as serving. You know, even just allowing
yes.
that power to go out of him,
yes.
counts as serving. So
healing,
does exorcisms.
Healing for sure is serving.
So you know, so does. So serving is also expelling demons. Serving is also multiplying food. Like it's, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of different examples in Mark about serving and what that looks like. And I think it's a good reference for us today that like you can do serving a lot of different ways.
Yeah. And and you can do it in the ways that
you can serve,
that you're wired to do it.
Yeah.
We should all serve in the way that we've been gifted to serve. And by Jesus's example, we can see there are many ways that are appropriate and a blessing to serve. Okay, so there's a lot. There's so much more in the homework. I wish we had time. I do want to wrap up by asking you both to tell me what taking up your cross and following mm-hmm. him means in your life today.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you personally? What do you think it means in the life of a believer? And I'm going to go ahead and call out, what do you think it means in the life of an 18-year-old young woman? As you have a unique perspective on that at this moment in time, and I don't.
So I would just like to say that considering that we've lived together for quite a bit now, I would have liked you to tell me that you were going to ask that, because now
That's okay.
Oh my God, we're on
the
spot here.
Let the spirit lead. Talk to me about your experience. What does suffering mean to you? Have you ever felt a time where you had to suffer for the gospel? What does it mean? You've heard people say suffering for the sake of the gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can give examples. Oh, well, you went to a Christian school your whole life, but Gianna didn't. So Gianna could give examples. I'm sure we won't do this because it's anecdotal. But anyone who went to a secular school could give you examples of suffering for your faith because you get ridiculed by teachers and students. Maybe you get ridiculed in your neighborhood. As an adult, I can tell you, a large part of my family is atheists. And so that's definitely a way that I feel a little bit persecuted as a result of my faith. These are small sufferings. They pale in comparison to Jesus's sufferings. But this is what I want to open the floor for. And then, Lynn, go a little deeper and think about how taking up your cross daily and following him, what does that really, really look like in your life? How does it look right now in this season of your life as you're getting ready to leave for college? Let's talk really specifically about what you think that means for you today.
Well, for me, it's like, wow, I just lost my thought. Oh, so like I ride outside of school. I mean, I took a break this year, but I had my barn friends.
Horses. She rides horses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Horses. Anyway, so.
I mean, just like saying, I know.
Yeah, no, I was
going
to get those. I figured I'd let her say it and people would figure it out.
So I had like my barn friends and none of them were Christian. So that was something to deal with. And it never really, there was like one time when it came up about talking about my faith because we were talking about homosexual people. And I was like, I don't have an issue with them. I just don't support what they're doing with their lives because it's a sin. But I'm not going to hate on them for it. I'm going to be nice to them and I'm going to minister to them.
And love them.
And love them, exactly. Mm-hmm. And like it was a great moment because neither of the two people I was with were like, oh, that's weird. They're like, oh, yeah, like you're entitled to your own opinion. And like that was really nice to experience something like that. And for like the taking up my cross, I think with them, some of them do things that I wouldn't do. And I mean, it's hard to like for this to like relate to it because none of them would ever like judge me like, oh, like you're so weird. You don't like smoke or drink or do any of that stuff. They weren't ever like judgmental of me, which was, it was a really good thing that they weren't. Cause that's something like I would be nervous about, like, oh, like I don't do these things and stuff like that. They're just like not something I do. And there are people that will judge you for that. And like, I know that's going to happen in my life. But, yeah, I think it was a good, like, teaching moment for me to be able to say, like, oh, I don't do those things. Because sometimes people just stay quiet and they don't say, like, oh, I don't do those things. And it was, like, it was a good thing for me to, like, go through
that. To be
able
to be bold enough to say.
I was, like, I don't drink. I don't do that thing. I don't smoke. I don't have any interest in doing stuff like that.
I understand what you're saying.
And I think that was a good thing to go through.
Okay, now I'm going to come back to you in a minute with this question. I want you to have a minute to think about it. You've had a minute, so I hope you're ready to say something, Jean.
Not ready.
That's good. Those are great. Thank you for sharing those examples from your life up till now. What do you think your life going forward might look like? What are you anticipating, especially as you leave for college? Are there ways, are you going to a Christian college?
No.
Okay, so can you talk about ways that you think you might need to take up your cross daily and follow him? I'll give you a minute to think about that. So Gianna, do you want to give any thoughts on what it means? You don't have to use from your life specifically if you don't have any or don't feel comfortable, but do you want to give some thoughts on what it means to be a suffering servant? Like the example of Jesus in our, you know,
yes,
2000s, you know, America.
Yes. I'm going to come back to the example that I pulled from the suffering column where Jesus sighed in his soul. 'Cause you know, before I moved to the Christian school, I went to public school pretty much. Well, you know, I moved schools a lot, but I went to public school for a while. And whenever I was in a friend group, I was the token Christian. I was the only Christian in that friend group. And people knew that because I wasn't quiet. I'm not a quiet person. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't quiet about it. I wasn't, you know, I was very confident with it. I was like, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's just who I am. And, you know, take it or leave it. And they tended to take it because, you know, they're good people. But a lot of times, sometimes people would come, you know, with legitimate questions, you know, come in, the group of friends, people would walk home from the bus every day. And sometimes they would ask me legitimate questions like, well, if this is true, what about this? You know, it's like, well, what do you think about this? But more often than not, it was just, you know, the trap questions. Mm. Can God make a, you know, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock even he can't move? And it's, you know, it's like a paradox, because if that's he an can't, interesting one. If he can't move it, then he isn't really all powerful. If he can't make it, he isn't really all powerful. It's a whole thing. But so
your questions that were really persecution.
Yeah, not necessarily. But and like I hesitate to say persecution, especially since I see, especially from a, it's interesting. I see more persecution in a Christian school than I did in a public school, because from the Christian side of persecuting others.
Mm.
But
that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole
we have a whole summer series we need to do together before you guys go to college. We have a whole summer series.
Spill the tea on Christian schools.
About to call some people out.
No names. Go
but,
ahead.
So, you know, like, I hesitate to call it persecution, but it was definitely frustrating. It was I definitely a few times sighed in my soul, you know, and
around your unbelieving friends.
Yeah, and I'm just like. Like, we're doing this? Like, it's been a long day. I just want to go home. We're going to have some Capri Suns.
That's a great example, actually.
Yeah. Like, we were on our way to get Capri Suns. Let's just have a good time. Like, let's not. I'll answer legitimate questions. And a few times, specifically one friend, she would text me later and be like, I have some more questions. And I'm like, that's great. Let me answer them.
Yeah, that is
But
great.
I knew that she was legitimately asking. The rest of them were just like.
Poking at you.
Poking at me, trying to trap me, trying to see if. And also. This is in middle school. I'm not a scholar now. I was not a scholar. There were a couple of questions that I was like, I don't know. I have to come back to that.
I'm glad you said that.
But they didn't really want to know the answer.
But I think that learning the answers for ourselves, because we field these difficult questions, really strengthens our faith.
Yeah, but
so God has a purpose in those persecutions that even is supposed to be a blessing to us. Do you get that?
I do. But the point that was frustrating is that I was trying to legitimately answer, but I quickly realized they didn't want to know.
Really
they
want
were
the
just
answers,
they
yeah.
just they just
they just
wanted
to,
trip
to
me out,
point which, out to you know. That there was a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say now that I've given you a few minutes to think about what you anticipate might be?
No, I kind of
well,
was.
And I'm coming back to you. Like, what do you think as you go forward as an 18-year-old person? How are you thinking? How are you looking at the world and saying this is the way I can foresee that I might have to take up my cross and follow Jesus?
Well, for college-wise, there's the whole thing of people, well, I like to party. I like to, you know, I was excited for people's dance parties and, you know, like sweet 16s and like.
Let's do a caveat that there was no dancing at the school where you went to.
There was no dancing
allowed at the formal.
We didn't have prom. We had banquet. We weren't allowed to dance.
That's okay.
Quiet.
Okay.
So,
I was
so like that's explain. I just need to explain because people who listen to this might have no frame of reference. Like, what do you mean you were excited to dance? And that I just wanted to frame why.
So yeah, we did not have dancing in our school. So and I like sweet 16s, for example. And like there were sweet 16s where I went to and people had alcohol, and not like the people that were hosting the party. It was like friends that they had from outside of school, or even people that were inside of school would like either bring stuff, or not the smarter decision, but like so they wouldn't get caught, is come drunk. But that also is dumb because you're sitting over here like, oh. It's like
not subtly.
No,
they weren't subtle about
it. It was very obvious, and it was funny to watch, but it's also like you just know.
So you're thinking about how that might play out
yeah.
in college.
So I'm thinking like when people are like, oh, do you want to come to this party? It's like, you know, I want to go and dance. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to, like, go there, have sex with someone. I don't want to, like, drink or anything. I just want to go there and dance with my friends and have fun. And I don't want to have any of that other stuff to, like, worry about. But it's like, I'm going to have to worry about that stuff. There are people that are there that are going to be like, oh, just do this. Like, it's fine. Like, one drink won't kill you. One hit won't kill you. Like, this is...
Well, let me say this. The majority of the people who go to those parties in college are not going to just be there to dance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So it's you'll, like, be the, you'll still be the outlier.
Yeah. It's like, why'd you come
so
here?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be a cross for you to bear.
And so I got to think about it. It's like, is it really worth it? I can dance in my dorm room.
Since I love you, I have to ask this question. How do we bear that cross? Do we bear it through our own strength? Do we withstand those temptations through our own strength? When Jesus says, take up your cross, tell me a little bit more about how does that look? What does that look like, taking up the cross?
It looks like praying about it and asking Jesus to help you to not go into that temptation. Because, yeah, it's really tempting. I want to go have fun and dance with my friends.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with party, you know.
Having a good time. Yeah. But
partying's great.
But I'm glad you said that. I'm glad, just in my heart, because I love you and want to make sure you're okay when you leave. Of course you will, because you're very buttoned up. But I think it would be a disservice to maybe tell people, oh, take up your cross. That means that you have to do it in your own strength. You know, on behalf of the Lord. It's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we couldn't even lift a splinter of it in our own strength.
If we had to do anything in our own strength, we'd be... dead. Like,
yeah, we could.
Humanity would be done by
this
now.
This is the point of the point of the cross. We couldn't do any of it on our own. Okay, that's really good. Really good. And that's was 100% my experience in college, so bearing that, I didn't bear it well. I stumbled and fell and needed to get pulled back out of the mud by Jesus again and again because I didn't bear
that
cross well.
He, you know, when you fall in the water, he pulls you back out, you know, even though your fault for looking at the storm.
Yep.
He doesn't just be like, oh, well, I told you to look at me, not the storm. Have fun drowning. Yeah. Like, he pulls you out.
Yeah, he does. Thank God.
Okay,
do you have things that you expect as you go through the next few years of your life? Or do you want to share any crosses you're bearing? Like, tell me about your personal experience of bearing a cross.
Well, I don't plan on going into a Christian career. I plan on going into, you know, the secular world and, you know, living in the world but not of it. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot that comes up that I will have to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Withstand?
No, sort of like calibrate with the Bible. Sort of like continue to make sure that I'm not getting sucked into the secular world that I'm in, especially since I think I want to go into law and, you know, criminal justice. Like, there's, you know, like, it's slimy in there. Like, you got some real, you know, it's real bad. But, like, I think it's important. It needs to be done. But, you know, I think I anticipate, you know, struggling to keep Christ at the center of everything I do, not just, oh, okay, so I'm doing this because God called me to do this, and you know being Machiavelli, and, you know, like, the ends justify the means. God called me to be a good lawyer, and to be a good lawyer I gotta, you know, do this, you know, backstabbing, you know, behind the scenes thing. Like,
well, that's really broad brushstroke, and that's a great point.
A quick thing to say. Oh, what was this, junior year? This was like I just remembered this. It's like a time when I had to, like, take up my cross and, like, a personal thing. So it was junior year. I liked someone, but I knew that they weren't a good person, and, like, the things that they did outside of school. Yeah. You know.
I know who that is.
The things outside of school they did, I was like, I don't want to be associated with that. And I had to pray, and, like, God had to say no so many times, and I was still like, but, like, what? And then, you know, what if, and all this stuff. And, like, I just had to realize, like, I gotta let him go.
That's not
worth it.
So
God said no.
That is a cross to bear. It reminds me of Proverbs 3:5.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it reminds me of you of the Jewish boy in college.
No, I did have a really. He was so pretty.
Her guy's pretty too.
Yeah,
he's so pretty.
Yeah, when we have to listen to the Lord above our own feelings.
Yeah.
Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And that's hard to do. That is in some respects a cross to bear.
Like with that, it was also, I kept coming back to God. I was like, just give me this one thing. Like everything else, you can like just give me this one thing. And it was like frustrating and annoying to go through. But it was like now that I've come out of that, it's like I'm stronger and like realizing you have to let people go. Not just like, oh, relationships like with boys, like for me, like dating. And it's like also friendships. You're going to have to let some people go and it's going to suck.
Mm. Yeah, you are.
But you, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And God really did in that scenario. He really said no. Like,
yeah.
It was a hard and fast no.
So I would say that you guys hit two really huge global great points. Yours, Caitlin, which is, a lot of what we would call our cross, our suffering,
mm-hmm.
is emotional suffering. The loss of something, the lack of justice or fairness. Some people feel like, oh, what's happening to me isn't right. What's happening to me isn't fair. And just bearing this cross, knowing that God knows best, whatever it feels like, whatever it looks like, God knows best. So that can be an emotional and mental cross to bear. And then Gianna's, which was this everyday kind of trudging through the world and saying, everything I do, I have to glorify God. And that being this serving and suffering for what we know is right for the gospel. So those are really, really great ones. I hope that people were blessed by your, I was blessed by your insights. So thanks for coming and doing this with me. Sure. Let's pray it out.
I was here anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't have a choice.
Yeah, you were here anyway. You're here for every recording though. So this is the first one you've actually come downstairs and mic'd up for you. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you so much for these amazing young women who bear witness to you and testify to your glory. I thank you for giving us an opportunity to do that here today. We ask that you would bless this time and take it forth into your kingdom to do your work. In the name of your Son, amen. Mm-hmm. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know Him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out His disciples to preach the word, and He instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study With Friends, so we have created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. That's studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you're thinking about, oh, I only have a little bit, if you feel moved to give it, we would be grateful to have it, and we will thank you greatly for that. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That is really always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.